Well, I appreciate that. I tried to play one of those things one time, and I couldn't remember if you were supposed to suck in or blow out, so I never could make a good sound out of it. But I appreciate somebody that can play. I appreciate the special music tonight. It was great. All the music was good, and I've just enjoyed being here. Your pastor, I'd like to follow him around sometime. I'll tell you, man, I can't believe he got this out of a dumpster. All the bathrooms downstairs, he showed us all the stalls, how they got out of a dumpster. And they look good. I think I'm going to learn his dumpster diving or something. He ought to teach a course on that. And how to build a church out of a dumpster or something. But praise the Lord for being here, and so for the gracious way that we've been taken care of, all the pastors and all the missionaries giving us a beautiful room. That bag that we got full of goodies, man, that's been a blessing to us. We've just enjoyed that so much. And then the meals, the fellowship, it has just been wonderful. Thank you so much for your kindness to us, and we appreciate it so much. We never want to take it for granted. Well, it's good to be back tonight, and I prayed about the message this evening, and once again, the Lord moves us in a different way. On Wednesday night, we talked about having faith, a faith that would marvel the Lord Jesus Christ. I want that kind of faith, and I want to demonstrate that kind of faith through how I respond to faith promise. And then last night, we talked about the yielding, the giving of ourselves, which is the ultimate thing that the Lord can use. We have to not only give our lives to the Lord. You know, when we get saved, He already owns the inside, the inner man, right? We're possessed by Him. But it's the out man, the outer man, that has to be dedicated and died on a daily basis. And so we want to do that so that we can fulfill and have a life that's pleasing and by faith. Well, tonight I want to talk a little bit about once we do faith promise, once we sign that faith promise card, and on a weekly basis as we give our faith promise faithfully every week. So many times I think, even in our church, we have folks that once they make that commitment to the Lord, that promise to the Lord, and then they weekly are faithful in giving, they sometimes I think we can feel like I've done all I'm supposed to do for missionaries. That's my responsibility. I'm providing for them. I'm giving the money, and they're on the field, and we're helping to do it. But I don't believe that stops there. I believe just that's the beginning of our responsibility for our missionaries and for those that we support. And so tonight what I want to talk about is how can we be a help to our missionaries? How can we really be a help and a blessing to these good folks that have surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ? So if you have your Bibles, take it to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And then put your finger there, if you will, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm just going to read a verse or so out of each of those passages. And together I want to formulate this message on how can we be a real help and a blessing to the missionaries that we support. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and if you will, please just join me in standing as I read a couple of verses, and then we'll have prayer and you may be seated. Look at verse number 11, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, verse number 11. It says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." And so it talks about here the gift that's been bestowed. That, of course, I believe it's kind of referencing the support to missionaries, the giving that we do. But it says also helping together by prayer. And so important to pray. And then look over at 1 Thessalonians, if you will, chapter number 5. And, of course, verse number 25. And it simply says, "Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us." I think one of the greatest hindrances to the spread of the gospel, and I'm not downing and I'm not belittling the fact that we ought to pray for our churches The Bible admonishes us to pray one for another. We are to do that. We're to encourage one another by prayer. But I think what is hindering today is that we forget the missionaries that are serving in India and what they're going through in Thailand and Curacao and all around the world, and how we ought to lift them up in prayer daily and ask God to bless them. Let's pray, shall we? Father, once again tonight we've gathered here, and Lord, you've opened up this door. You've given us a blessed service already with a choir, special music, and Lord, our hearts are thrilled. Lord, tonight though, we've come now to the place where you want to speak to us, and so we need you tonight. Thank you already for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. You are a great and loving God. And yet, Lord, tonight, help us to maybe just challenge these good folks to be reminded of some things I'm sure they already know. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And so, Lord, I just pray that tonight you would help us to remind us, to encourage us in the things that you'd have us to do. And Lord, we'll be careful always to thank you and to praise you for all things. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've already mentioned that I think we need to not just feel that my commitment is ended by the time that I turn in my envelope every week or my faith promise on a regular basis. That's just the beginning of taking on these missionaries. Now I have a responsibility. William Carey, missionary to India, once said this: "Yonder in India is a gold mine." He says, "I'll descend and dig, but you at home must hold the ropes." It's us who are the ones who not only are sending them, but we're also to be the ones that constantly hold them up and before the throne of grace for all the things that they need to do. So how are we to pray for them? I want to quickly go through this. And so tonight, listen, if you will. First of all, I believe we need to pray for their selection. You know, one of the things that I think I mentioned the other night is we in our churches, we've gotten kind of a little bit off track. We want our children to be successful, and certainly I know that's a normal thing. I want my kids to be successful, but I'd rather have them be successful for the Lord Jesus Christ than anything else. And so, but we're encouraging our kids to be doctors, lawyers, businessmen, successful at home and all the rest, but we forget that they belong to the Lord. They're the Lord's heritage. We're just using them. We're just entrusted with them. And so it's not the world's responsibility to provide missionaries. We're not going to get them from the football fields. We're not going to get them from the sports arenas or the worldly colleges. It's the church's responsibility to fill in the needed areas of it. So I believe that we need to really make it a matter of prayer to pray that missionaries will be out of our churches. Amen. These young children that I'm looking at here around this building tonight, boy, I'd love to see someday them surrendering their lives and saying, "Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'm willing to go and to serve the Lord," because some of us are getting a little older. Now, I know I'm not. Don't laugh at that. But anyway, but I know that one day I'm not going to be able to stand in a pulpit and preach. And somebody's going to have to stand in there to do it, to fill my spot. But yet these missionaries, the same thing. And we've got spots all over the world that are doing. The need is truly great. More people are in need of salvation today around the world than ever before because the population of the world has increased so much. 7.7 billion people in the world. Can you believe that? We heard last night, 1.3 billion in India. 1% Christian. In China, I believe it's 1.4 or 5 billion people, and 5% are Christians. And so the need is tremendously great. The church, of course, has to be the source. That's what this church is here for. It's to be a lighthouse. It's to build up and to be a sending station. And so we need to pray for their selection. And we must realize that we need to have that. So we need to have, I believe every one of us, listen, I believe if God is finished with us, we'd be in heaven. Amen? Amen? I mean, if God is finished with us, He's not going to leave us here just to do nothing. And when he's finished with us, the graduation is to be in the place that we're looking forward to one day. Amen. So as long as I'm here, I believe God has a purpose and a plan. And so I would encourage each and every one of us what we ought to do on a daily basis. Hey, Lord, here am I. What can I do for you? We and our mission board, Baptist Missions of Forgotten People, we have a lot of older people that are coming into the mission field. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Some of them are retired. They've got a retirement coming in. They don't have to raise a lot of support. And they're just willing to serve the Lord. And I don't think that there is an age limit necessarily placed upon serving God. So, hey, some of you folks, why don't you say, look in the mirror tomorrow morning while you're shaving or combing your hair, if you have hair, and say, Lord, I'm willing to surrender my life. Could you use me on a mission field somewhere? Wouldn't that be wonderful if he called you to preach? So we need to pray for their selection. I think then we need to pray for their service. Pray for their service. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 and 3, Paul's writing here and he says, continuing in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, wherewithal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. And we ought to pray for their service. These folks that are going to India, that's a hard area to witness in. And openly, you can't proselyte, if I believe right. You can't go around and witness on streets. And so we need to pray for an open door in India. And he can open that door. He can do things that we cannot do. In China, they cannot do it. We have a missionary that we supported, and because it has to be an underground church, the police were notified that they were meeting, and they came in on a Sunday morning and took the pastor and put him in jail and questioned him. The missionary that was there had to leave and flee the country to come back home because of the fact is that they're still persecuting Christians there. And you know what we need to do is pray for an open door, an effectual door that will be open for these missionaries. So we ought to pray for their service. God controls the doors, doesn't he? And it's to him that we must pray. Paul here urged the church to pray for open doors for him. And God opened that door to Macedonia, if you remember that. He had plans to do his own thing. And in that vision, God said, hey, a man from Macedonia said, come over and help us. And he did. And we need to pray for their service as they serve and for open doors, opportunities to do what God wants them to do. Then I think we need to pray for success for the missionaries. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 9, Paul's writing again. He says this, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Remember, we prayed for that door before. Now that door's been opened, and he says, there are many adversaries. It's getting to be a very dangerous situation in our world today to be a Christian. Isn't it true? Muslims aren't happy with us. Other groups, even in our own nation, we've got things happening in our own nation where politicians aren't real happy with us anymore, and they're trying to do things. So it gets to the place where we need to understand that there's a lot of opposition to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not easy to go into a foreign country and to have a hardship of witnessing and handing out tracts and to realize that there's problems there. There's language barriers. Boy, I have a hard time with English. Amen? And these folks are going to have to learn, what is it, Hindu or Hindi, Telugu, and Thai? I don't know what they speak in Curacao. Minto, okay. So, but he speaks it. So anyway, but I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with English. So can you imagine, can you just think for yourself for a moment of the success of you going to a language school and learning some other language? The hardest thing. We go to Germany every year, and I always say, I wish I could speak German just to get through that. But it's hard to do that. I can't speak it. I pick up a few words. So they have to learn a language, and there's a language barrier. And certainly, if they're going to communicate and be effective, they must do it. So we ought to pray for the success of them learning that language and being able not only to understand it, but to preach fluently in it. Then there's cultural barriers. We learned about those today at lunch as we were listening to Brother Wiles talk about some of the situations about the in India, about the beef and the Hinduism and all the rest of it and culture barriers. And you have to kind of understand those things so that you can not offend the people and that you can still work with it. It's different. Even here in our states, there's a cultural difference from Maryland to here. Amen? I mean, you people are weird. Well, that's a way to make friends and influence people. But it is. It's a different set of thoughts and rules and guidelines and your upbringing and the what you eat and foods and things of this nature just simply because of being in a different control. So you have to understand the cultures. Then there's spiritual opposition. Then they have to withstand that and be able to do it. So we ought to pray for their success. We need to pray for the courage to speak boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet lovingly in that same aspect. We need to have them to care about the people as they ought to care. Paul, and we need to pray that they accomplish their goal and see souls saved, souls baptized. So success of their ministry. These people aren't going over there to have a vacation. Amen. They're not going over there to bask in the sunlight of India and the culture there or Taiwan. They're there to go and to do one job, and that's to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ought to pray that God will bless them and be successful in it. And then we also need to pray for their safety. I just mentioned just a moment ago about the dangerous time that we live in. And certainly it is very dangerous. Even in Germany now, they've got many of the Muslim came in as immigrants. And they are becoming more and more. Let me just share something with you. I think we talked a little bit about this at lunch today. One of the missionaries in Germany has said this. And they've watched it. The Muslims have come in as immigrants into Germany. And their process or their philosophy is that a Muslim family will have about 5 to 6 children, whereas Germans have maybe 1 or 2. And what their plan that they're going to do is just by having children multiplying, eventually they're going to take over and outnumber the German people. And that's happening even here in our country, here in the States. And I'll guarantee you, when we start, and you can get upset with this, I'm not trying to be political, but when we start voting in Muslims into our government, it's opening some doors. And so we need to be very cautious and careful because it's going to be a dangerous time. Muslims don't love us. I know they talk about the love of the Quran and all the rest of it, but I'll guarantee you they don't love us, and we need to be very careful and cautious of that in all that we do. Missionaries certainly are in dangerous areas. Missionaries literally wear a target on their backs when they're out. We need to pray for their safety. The missionary that we prayed for the other night, Brother Westco, in I think it was in Thailand where he was, if I'm not mistaken, Malaysia, I think it was, where he was just walking down the street and somebody shot him. And his wife with 8 children had to come home. So it's not a thing. So we ought to pray for their safety. And we need to understand how important it is that they continue their side. Then, and this is where we're going to get to on Sunday, we need to pray for their supply. We need to pray for their supply. Needs are different in different areas. Language, of course, is always a challenge. We understand that. Adjustments to the climates are going to be hard. That's a part of being a part of it. Adjustments to strange customs and care that they have there. I read of one area where they welcomed honored guests by spreading the floor of the hut with fresh dung. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd want to be welcomed into that home. Adjustments in primitive conditions. Electricity's not always on. Water's not always available. Sanitation is very limited. Heard about putting in the septic system to try to accommodate all of that. I heard of one missionary that came off the field after a year and a half on the field, and the mission director called him aside and said, what was wrong? Was it a physical situation? Is there a problem? He said, no. He said, my wife missed Walmart. Came off the field because his wife missed Walmart. Let me tell you, they're not going to have the fresh grocery stores to run into. I've been in those places and saw the meat hanging with flies all over it. Isn't that tempting? Wouldn't you love to take a piece of that home and fry it up? It's different. So we need to pray for their supply. So how do we do it? Well, physical needs. We need to pray for their physical needs. The germs that and the diseases which often affect the health of all of them. One young couple in Africa had to come home because of the terrible toll that those parasites had taken on the whole family, and with a lack of proper medical personnel and medical care. And so we need to pray for the supply of health for them and taking care of the needs that they have. We need to pray for the family needs that they have. Stress is a real problem in the families. Let me tell you something. We have in our mission board, we have a fellow that does counseling with our missionaries simply because of the stress that can happen to a missionary couple on the field when the family is growing up and there's troubles and trials and the customs are different and all the rest. And it can be a strain upon a marriage. And so we need to pray that God will solidify that family and grow that family and keep it together and helping them to do it. Family needs, educational needs. Most times they have to train their children at home. And then there's the loneliness aspect of it, to be by themselves. Brother Wiles, do you have any missionaries around you? Brother Ben, do you? You don't either. And so Brother Bernard, do you have anybody close by? So they're on the field. They don't have that closeness. We go every year, I talk about going to Germany. We have our mission board sponsors a missions retreat in Rotenburg, Germany every November. And I have the privilege, my wife and I, of going over there and being there. We have 100, and I think last year, 140 missionaries that come from all over Europe. And one of the things that brings them there is the fact that they can fellowship with other missionaries that are going through the same struggles, the same trials, the same problems, and it increases them, encourages them. For a whole week, they get to hear preaching and teaching and fellowship and just an encouraging time together. Why? Because if it's not for that, we're going to lose them off the field, and we need to keep them there. So we need to pray for their family needs and the loneliness that they go through. We need to pray for the spiritual needs that they have. You know, Satan attacks because of the stress and the trials. And Satan wants to get them off the field. He wants to get them discouraged. He doesn't want them to be there. The depression and the self-pity that can come when the home seems to be so far away and disinterested in them. Let me encourage you to do this. We did this at our church, and I think it's a real help. And you may do it here. But we started a program called Magnify Missions. And what we do is we have all of our missionaries and we have volunteers in our church that will take anywhere from 2 to 4 names or whatever. And their responsibility is through email or Facebook or something to contact those missionaries once a month or so and just let them know that somebody's praying for them. Somebody wants to let them know if they have a special need, something that they don't want to write in their missionary letter. Listen, when you get those missionary letters and those prayer letters, I'm going to guarantee you, you're not hearing everything that missionary is going through. They don't necessarily want to write the problems, the trials, the heartaches, because you know what? You don't want to hear that. You want to hear souls are saved and souls are baptized and how many gospels they got out or whatever, the impact for Christ. And I understand that. So we made it a special deal that we want to find out, is there a need that you have that you haven't put in there that you want us just to make it a matter of prayer? Or maybe we can help to relieve that if it's a financial need or something, we can do something to help them. Let them know that they are not forgotten on the field. that they're still there. Listen, just signing that faith promise, yes, that's important. They need to get to the field. But that doesn't relieve us of the responsibility after they're there, after they leave here to go out and raise the support and then go to the field. That's just the beginning of it. And if we fail in our rest of it of praying for them and holding them up, if Paul said, pray for me, let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul, I think we'd agree, was a very spiritual giant. All of us would love to have the character and the spirituality of Paul. And if he said, pray for us, brethren, I want you to realize we need to pray for our missionaries. Spiritual needs. And then, of course, pray for the supply of financial needs. Financial needs. You know, it's amazing. If you ever have traveled overseas, when you exchange the dollars, you lose sometimes. You know, you might give $100 to a missionary, but by the time they turn that over into their currency, they might only get $80. And so the needs, and that fluctuates constantly. And when there's no way, because missionaries, when they go to the field, most of them have to sign a paper that says they will not get a job on the economy because that country they're going to does not want them to rob from their own population of employment. So there's no way that they can go out and get a job on the economy to supplement their income. So the only thing they can live by and live by faith is what the churches send them on a regular basis. That's why being faithful to faith promise is so important. Because each and one of these missionaries, when they get to their field, is counting on you to help them stay there and do the job that they've been called to do. And so every, just like you, if you go to work, and I don't know, you make $10 an hour, at the end of the week, you expect to get a paycheck that's going to be worthy of that $10 an hour job, don't you? I mean, that's just normal. I mean, I know the government takes out the taxes, and by the time you get done, you might get $2 an hour. But anyway, but that's the whole key, is that you depend upon that. Well, so do these missionaries. Now, yes, they're living by faith, but they're living by the faith that God is going to meet their need. And how do they do it? Through us. That's what faith promise is about. It's realizing that these folks are over there. Their whole ability to stay on the field is dependent upon faithfulness of God's people here in the States doing what they ought to do. You know, the problem is sometimes churches change pastors. And the pastor may not have a burden for Curacao or for India. And unfortunately, it does happen that if he doesn't have or know that missionary or whatever, he might say, well, we're going to drop that, discontinue the support. And all of a sudden, they get their report and it's no longer supported any longer. That's a terrible thing, but it happens. And we need to make sure that they're done. Some churches send money periodically instead of consistently. One of the things that I've been very thankful for, and I praise the Lord for it, is that any missionary we've ever taken on for support, we've never had to never send their support. Every month it comes in and every month it goes out to them. And if I ever find that there's a question or a hindrance in their life or whatever, I always tell our men we're going to continue supporting them as on the field, unless it's a real doctrinal issue. As long as they're on the field, and when they come home, we'll bring them in, talk to them. And if we have to discontinue the support, it'll be when they can raise it back up again. You see, they are dependent upon us and our faithfulness. And so we need to pray for them. Not periodically. Wouldn't it be something if you went to your job this week, payday came, and you walked in, and the guy at the pay counter said, well, we're not going to pay you this week. We might do it next week. Well, that'd be kind of a shock, wouldn't it? Missionaries are trusting us to be faithful. And so we need to pray, not just fill out a card. That doesn't relieve my responsibility. When I put my name or whatever I do on that card and I set it in the offering plate, that's the start. And every week when the offering plate comes around and I take my faith promise giving and I lay it in that offering plate, that's just the beginning of my responsibility for those missionaries. The Bible says that we ought to pray for your pastor. Amen. You ought to pray for your pastor every day. I don't know the needs that he has, but God does. You ought to pray for his pastor's wife. I know that she's had some physical situations, and you ought to be lifting her up on a daily basis and praying for her. You ought to pray for your deacons. Boy, do they need it. Sorry about that, Brother Mark. But you ought to pray for your deacons. They're to be the encouragers. They're to be the helpers to your pastor. And I'll be gone. I'll honest. The devil's going to fight him, and the devil's going to fight them. You're to pray for your other members of the church. As I said earlier, we're to be admonished to pray one for another. So we ought to pray for the other, the staff members, each other and their needs that we know. But that doesn't stop there. Those missionaries are a part of our church family. I always tell them when we take on a new missionary, welcome to our new missions family, because that's a part of what they are. And so then I have now the responsibility to pray for Brother Ben. We support Brother Ben. We've been supporting him for what, almost 2 years now? Year and a half? I don't know how many times I've had his prayer letter and I looked at it and read through it, and there would be a little blip in there about pray for this. And one thing I've done is prayed for his need, because I have that responsibility. And so on Sunday, when you fill out that faith card, it's faith giving, yes, but it's a faith commitment. It's committing myself to be a part of the missions program of this church. And I have that responsibility to pray for our missionaries. I want the power of God. I want to be faithful. As I said on Wednesday night, I want God to marvel at my faith. Oh, I want to have that kind of faith. And the reason I can do that, the only way I can, is if I yield myself to it. And when I yield myself to it, there's a whole bunch of it. I want to be found faithful in praying for our missionaries, lifting them up. God knows their needs. You say, well, I don't know their needs, but God does. So let's be found faithful in lifting up our missionaries. Pray for them. The world is not for them. The devil is not for them. Satan wants to get them discouraged, defeated, and to get them off track. Just as your pastor, just as other Christians, let's bond together. Let's pray for our missionaries. Amen. Father, just a challenge tonight, Lord. That's all I wanted to do, is challenge these good folks to, Lord, realize that to relieve themselves of the responsibility doesn't just stay in that faith promise card or their weekly giving. The commitment to missions is beyond that. And Lord, we need to lift these good folks up on a daily basis and remember that they have burdens and needs and a need of an open door. Lord, a need to be successful in the ministry that you've called them to, with handfuls on purpose of souls being saved and growing and maturing and seeing others come to know you as Savior. And Lord, we need to have some safety hedges placed upon them and in areas where they serve, Lord. And that's our responsibility to pray on a daily basis regarding that. And so, Lord, I'd ask you, oh God, help us to be mindful every day as we look at those prayer letters and prayer cards. Help us, Lord, to think about those missionaries and what they're going through and what they might be facing, and to make it a matter of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, and I wonder how many of us would say, you know, preacher, I just need to pray a little bit more. I need to be more mindful of the needs of our missionaries. I need to be maybe more aware of their needs and to be holding them up in prayer. Would you pray for me that I would do that? Here's my hand. I'm honest tonight. I'm raising my hand. I need to do it as well. God bless you. God bless you. It comes to the place where I know that I need to yield myself once again and let him be real in my life so that I will follow every aspect of it. tonight, maybe you just need to get alone with God and say, Lord, help me to be more mindful, more aware, more in tune, and more faithful praying for our missionaries. Father, bless now this invitation. Lord, help us to be found faithful as you have spoken, that, Lord, we would yield ourselves to it. And we thank you and we'll praise you for all that you've done and will do in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Altars are open. Maybe you need to just come and get alone with the Lord tonight and just say, help me to be faithful in this prayer. Help me to be mindful of our missionaries. Help us to lift them up to a daily basis and keep them before the throne of grace and ask God to do wonderful things for them and through them. If you need to come tonight, the altars are open. Brother, you come take the invitation.